friends pretend they know sports. WFAN actually does. Get smarter, louder, and way more annoying at watch parties. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
All right, 304, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. I got you for two more hours till the warm-up show comes your way. We talked football to start the show. What are the Giants going to do? It sounds like they are going to make the change. At least it does to a lot of us, as they were non-committal about Russell Wilson being the starting quarterback this week against the Chargers. It sounds like there is a very good chance the Jackson Dart era will begin this Sunday at MetLife Stadium against the San Diego Chargers. I say the Guardians and I say the Commanders. I very rarely make that mistake. But when cities change, I have a tougher time with it. I say Oakland all the time, even for the Raiders, certainly over the A's since they've now moved to Sacramento. But the team names I'm better at remembering, but the cities I always make a mistake with. The L.A. Chargers will come in and probably get Jackson Dart. But let's start with the New York Mets for a second here, because it is still baseball season. It's the last week of baseball season. And just all over baseball, not just with the Mets. This is, like, right now, as interesting and probably exactly what Major League Baseball wants. Now, I know there's tiebreakers, so we won't get a game 163 to decide a division or like any of that. But right now, if you look at this, like last night, the San Diego Padres beat the Milwaukee Brewers in extra innings and they clinched that second wild card. There's only one spot. There's one spot left. Everything else is pretty much decided. The Phillies have clinched the division. The Brewers are going to win that division. The Cubs have clinched the top wild card. San Diego's clinched the wild card. The Dodgers are in the postseason. It's just a matter of if them or the Padres will win a division. There is one playoff spot left, and it will belong to one of really three teams, because I think you could put the Giants have faded away, and the Cardinals aren't very good, and it's 3.5, four in the loss column with six to play. It's the Cincinnati Reds, the New York Mets, and the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks are a game off the pace. The Reds and Mets are tied, and we all know by now, if you've listened at all, if you're a baseball fan at all, the Reds have the tiebreaker. As it sits currently, they are the third wild card team with the Mets looking out. Looking in. And I got to tell you, I've been doing opens. I've been talking about the Mets. And I've been the one guy. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to just, you know, talk about whether or not they're going to make it. I've been uber confident that the New York Mets are going to make the postseason. I have been. I've been talking about playoff rotations. I've been talking about, you know, rookies making big playoff starts, because I couldn't fathom this Met team. Especially what did it for me, really, was when the Cincinnati Reds went into Sacramento, let me get that right, and played the A's and got swept. They had every chance to overtake the Mets as they were in the middle of their 8-game losing streak, and they went to go play the A's, who are a pesky team and do have some really good offensive players, but they went into that building, that minor league ballpark, and couldn't get a win. And I said, well, that's it for the Reds. And I knew they had the tiebreaker over the Giants. I wasn't overly concerned about them. And the Diamondbacks were playing the Dodgers, and we're a couple games back. I was ready to declare, I know this is scary, and I understand they've played terribly here, and who's going to have confidence in them once they get there. But there ain't no way. Ain't no way. This Met team is blowing this thing. Then they take two out of three from San Diego, and they get the golf clap. It wasn't perfect, but they took two out of three against a really good team that has now clinched their playoff spot. They beat up Michael King, who's pitched really well this year when healthy. It was a good series for them. It was a good series. And then they score, they fall behind to the Nationals in the first game, and then they score 12 runs in the first game of the Washington series. And I expected it to go the way we all expected it to go. At least I know Met fans didn't. But I thought they were well on their way to securing themselves a playoff spot. And then these two games against the Nationals, Saturday, losing in the manner in which they did. And they played some of the, like, they played terribly defensively. Juan Soto just running past the baseball. Awful. Awful. We saw what Siri did. Let me not say, hey, Siri, because that sets the phone off. We saw what Siri did in center field, in and out of his glove, misplaying, you know, taking a terrible route on a ball in the gap. Like, they played terribly defensively, throwing the ball around. Pete Alonso can't throw it to first base. He makes McClain jump 6 feet in the air. Luckily, he didn't pull a hamstring like Senga did. Like, they battle back. They're still the only team in Major League Baseball, still the one team in Major League Baseball. Is it 67, 0-62 or 0-67? Whatever it is, it's in the 60s. To not win a game after trailing after the eighth inning. Not a single win. They come back. They get the big double from Vientos. They tie the game on the Soto bloop single. They have an opportunity to win the game. They've got bases loaded, one out for Nimmo, and he strikes out. Then Alvarez hits into a big double play, and they lose a game in extra innings at home against the Nationals in games they desperately need. Then Sunday, the same thing. Again, offensively, not enough. So many missed opportunities. McNeil and Nimmo killed them these last couple days. Killed them. I forgot to mention on Saturday, the manager not showing urgency and making sure Diaz pitches both the 9th and the 10th. Like, just everything about this team in those two games. And they allowed the Reds, who have now won 5 in a row, they swept a 4-game series against the Chicago Cubs. And the Mets chose to play two of their worst games, offensively, defensively, baseball, like everything. Forget pitching. Because the young starting pitching has actually been pretty damn good. We know McClain's been great. Tong bounced back off of his miserable start where he couldn't get it out of the first inning and bounced back and pitched really well. Sproat's been pretty good. Even the piggyback situation, they gave up 3 runs. This offense, again, we've been saying it all year, forget everything else. The rotation, it's not suitable for a team with a $300 million payroll. Damn right. I'm not sure what their options were. We went over it. Nobody in free agency did a damn thing. But we could talk about the pitching and we could talk about the bullpen. This offense is supposed to be better. This is the 7th best offense in baseball last year that added Juan Soto. And he's having a Juan Soto season. It's not like, oh man, struggles. You know, his first year, Juan Soto didn't have a great year. Yeah. Maybe with runners in scoring position for the first few months, but he's already hit more home runs than he's ever hit in his career. He's got over 100 runs. He's got over 100 walks. He's got over 100 this. He's having a Juan Soto season, and they're still not scoring 3 runs against 2 pitchers against the Washington Nationals, who each had an ERA over 5. And they lose 2 out of 3 to the Nats after taking the series from San Diego and scoring 12 runs in game 1? How is that possible? How does this team continue to come up small in the biggest moments? 3 7-game losing streaks in a year. This would be from, I mean, you're talking about at that Juan Soto press conference. When, you know, outside of how many times family was mentioned, the idea of how much money this owner has, the idea they just stole, and I know people get mad when you say stole, it wasn't like they stole them, but they convinced, let's use that, they convinced the great Juan Soto to take their money to come play for the New York Mets after a year where he played for the New York Yankees, got to experience the power and pinstripes and pride and everything else that goes with it, and Monument Park, and going to the World Series. And still, because the Mets' future is so bright, and the owner is so rich and desperate for winning, and the organization is better run, and this is the place to be, not the lousy Bronx, but here in Queens, with this team that's going to treat me like family, and it's going to continue to put a great winning team forward, They've got great players already. They've got a commitment that's unmatched. They got a farm system with young pitchers and everything else. This is the place to be. To jump out, start the year as well as they did, have the best record in all of baseball for a time, lead the division by as much as 5 games over Philly while beating the crap out of them the first couple series of the year, and to have what felt like just a happens 10 times a year disappointing series to an average Tampa Bay team on Father's Day weekend, and have that be the moment from that moment on where you are a 17-game under 500 team. To fail like this and to not make the postseason in a format that has 6 teams make it, and to be outplayed by Terry Francona and the Cincinnati Reds, who again, with their season on the line, couldn't get a win against the A's, turn around, sweep the Cubs, and put themselves in a position where they're 4 games over 500, and that's all it takes to be the third wild card in the far superior league. Oh, I mean, it's an embarrassment, the junior circuit over in the American League. Embarrassment. 4 games over 500 has you in the playoffs in the National League. Tell me again how great it is. They can't let this happen. And if it does, and we'll have plenty of time for if it does, but if it does, I'm sorry. I'm not saying you can't bring back Pete Alonso. And I saw Joe Beningo's comments. We'll get into whether or not the Yankees would be interested in Pete Alonso. Anyone would be interested. The dude is a consistent 35 and 100 player, even in his down years. But I don't know if you've seen what Ben Rice is doing. I don't think they have any interest in spending any money at first base. I think they're going to say, thank you for being Ben Rice, and you're going to be our first baseman. I doubt very much they'd be interested in Murakami in Japan or Pete Alonso or anybody else to play first base outside of Ben Rice next year. But you could say, hey, you got to bring him back because of that consistency, because you want that power bat behind Juan Soto. Sure. I mean, it's not a terrible idea, but at some point you have to dramatically change this team. And the easiest way to do it is to get the $30 million of Pete Alonso or whatever it's going to cost you for the next 4 or 5 years. Get that money off the books, put it elsewhere. Trade Brandon Nimmo, trade McNeil. Like, that's where you're at. That's what this is. That's what this signifies. Everybody else that isn't a David Stearns guy, anybody who was brought here, drafted by, signed by, developed by, it don't matter. Anybody that's got the stench of Sandy Alderson or the stench of the Wilpons or anybody else that is not running, that is not David Stearns, goodbye. And the only reason why I say that is because I know Stearns isn't going anywhere. And not that he should, but it's been a disappointing year even for him. It's been a disappointing year for everybody with the Mets. But you're going to tell me you have to bring back Pete Alonso to be part of the same core that's failed over and over and over again? And this would be on another level. Now, again, collapse is a different word to me. I think collapse is more immediate than this. This is the analogy of the frog in the boiling water. Like, that's what this is. On June 13th, the Mets got into a hot tub, and they have not realized how hot this thing has gotten, and they're about to cook. So is it worse than 07? I don't know. Do I think, like, is it worse than 07 to blow a 7-game lead with 17 to play? I don't know. That's pretty dramatic and sudden. This has been more of a steady decline. But the idea that this team with this payroll isn't going to be one of the final six, yeah, that might be worse. That might be worse. That's probably more puzzling to me. This can't happen. This manager who was, King Midas, the first year, everything he touched turned to gold. This year's been the exact opposite. It seems like every bullpen decision he makes is the wrong one. Not that he's got any good ones out there. Like, the fan base is ready to turn on him. The GM, same thing. Every decision he made last year was perfect. This year, what's worked out? Nothing. Nothing. The rotation's a disaster. The trade deadline was awful. Like, nothing he did, which again, and I don't include Pete Alonso or Juan Soto in that, because those were the owner moves. I know, I feel so strongly that he wanted not to sign Pete Alonso. Like, I feel very confident that if it were up to Stearns, Pete Alonso wouldn't be here. Now, Juan Soto, I'm sure everybody would want Juan Soto. He's that great a player, but he's not the one who made the deal. That's up to the owner. When you sign him, you sign Judge, you sign Otani, that's not a GM decision. Everybody wants those players. That's a matter of the owner getting involved and saying, here, I'll give you $765 million in suites and clothes and planes and whatever else you need. Seinfeld box, DVD, whatever you want, man. But every little subtle move that he has made has been a disaster this year. And that's not to say he's stupid. I think he's a very smart and good executive, and I think he's going to learn that he could do things slightly different while still being successful, and I have every expectation that he's the guy for the future of the team, but this was a miserable season, and next year, it's got to look different, no? But we have plenty of time to get to that. Right now, we have six games, and I just, as a observer and a non-Met fan who believe I'm rooting for them. I want playoff games. I want to talk about playoff games. I want to come on and break down moves and playoff games. I don't want to just forget about the Mets, man. You think I might? Yeah. Will I have some fun with it? Sure, I will. Will I collect some receipts? Absolutely. Will I go on Twitter and get after everybody who got on me when Juan Soto signed and said the Yankees are done and they're an embarrassment and Cashman's ridiculous and, oh my God, you're just so happy to make the playoffs? Yeah, you know why? Because it's not guaranteed, as you're learning. Oh, you're so happy with just being an above 500 team. You're just so happy with making the playoffs every year. Because it's hard, even with a $300 million payroll. It ain't easy. Just ask the guys trying to do it in Queens. It ain't easy. So, yeah, I'll collect some receipts. But I am rooting for the Mets these next 6 days. Because we need playoff baseball. We deserve playoff baseball. Our football season's done already. I'm not ready to declare the Mets dead. They got to get in and then take on it. Listen, I don't care who they go and get. You'll get the Dodgers? Go take on the Dodgers. Go, they're not that good. They're not unbeatable. If they get in, they're still dangerous, man. I still believe that. As ugly as it's been, get in, play well, you're dangerous. Six games. Six games for your life. I love it. Playoff baseball, pennant race baseball, it's the best. And then we get the Yankees who are taking on the White Sox. Their magic number is down to 3 to clinch a playoff spot. And the question for the Yankees, obviously, is you want to sweep the White Sox, no doubt. And you want that top spot in the wild card because you want that home game. You want those 3 home games. And they are still chasing the division. And we'll get to the Yankees and their issues and shortstop. And because they like the Mets are on, they got to find a way to win. And then you can talk about what's best in the postseason roster and rotation. Like the Yankees are in a position where they're going to the postseason. It's just a matter of who's your shortstop? Who's that third pitcher in a wild card series? Do you deploy him in game 2 if you win game 1? All that fun stuff that we can get into once we get ready for a playoff series. But to me, the most interesting thing about the Yankees, which I expect at the bare minimum, to take 2 of 3 from the White Sox and hopefully 2 out of 3 in the final series against Baltimore. But they'll win enough games. And we'll see where they stand. And they have questions about what makes them best for the postseason. The question for Yankee fans that I find interesting is right now, down 2 games. Let me just make sure it is 2 games. When you say things, you want to just be sure. 2 games in the division to the Jays. And obviously it's 3 because they have the tiebreaker. We all know this. They're playing 3 games against the Boston Red Sox. Who are you rooting for? I find that fascinating. I think, we'll get to it. I'll ask you, and then we'll have some thought on room in it. Because if the Red Sox sweep them, division's up for grabs. How likely is that? And I think we've been honest, as most Yankee fans, especially now, even though Cleveland's hot coming up there, the Astros right there in the mix for the playoff spot, I still think the Red Sox are the one team I'd rather not play. I don't think they, it's not like they can't beat them, but I'd probably rather not play the Red Sox. Would you rather just see the Blue Jays beat up on the Red Sox and knock them out of that second wild card spot and help avoid them in the wild card series? Or do you want to take the chance that somehow you can make up 3 games in 6 days and win this division and get a bye and be the number one overall seed? 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls real quick. Let's go to Jesse in Queens. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, Chris. How's everything?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good, good. Bill Madden had a great article a couple weeks ago and tried to shed some light on the Mets' inner problems. He said he had an insider, and what he was told was since Soto came, Lindor has not been, you know, a captain, like not really doing too much. That's one of the problems. Also, Mendoza has become friends with a lot of the players, so he's kind of afraid to get in their face. And also, they know that most of his decisions are coming from Stearns and the analytics people. So the Mets players don't really, you know, really give him that much respect. And also, Stearns doesn't talk to his scouts. That's why all these trades to these players didn't work out. Because if he talked to his scouts, they would have told him, how's he not your guy? And about the other guys. Another thing mentioned was Quintana and J.D. Martinez and Iglesias. Their influence last year at the clubhouse was very, very profound.
Mm-hmm.
And since they're not here, you know, you got to remember, the Mets were really bad last year until, you know, like the Iglesias came.
Yeah.
And then he started the energy in the clubhouse and all that. So that's another component that's not there this year. So with all the other problems with Soto, with Mendy, and it looks like there's some problems in the clubhouse. And since Soto came, Lindor is kind of back off being a captain. So this is all a combination of what's going on. And so there has to be some...
Yeah, I mean, look, a couple things there. And thank you for the call, Jesse. I didn't read the Bill Madden article on the Mets. I don't know that to be true. I'm not saying Bill is lying or that he's not been given information that said as much. Lindor has now stopped being the leader because Juan Soto got there. I mean, if that's the case, it's a problem. I doubt that he is a non-leader. I think he's not playing the same way he played last year when he was carrying them, and it seemed easier to say, oh, he called the meeting, he's carrying them and having an MVP-type season, he's the captain of the team. And this year, yeah, Juan Soto naturally changes the dynamic when you make that kind of money. Lindor was also the highest paid player on the team and with the largest contract. And so, like, yeah, dynamic shift, but I doubt very much that he's just now doesn't say anything and he's off to himself in the corner. There might be problems inside the clubhouse. Absolutely. That could happen on any given year. And last year, absolutely, part of their resurgence was having guys to lean on and the excitement of OMG. And obviously, you know, Vientos and others talked about J.D. Martinez and the value of having him on the roster and with the team and, you know, like another hitting coach and someone they could rely on, someone who's been through the game, multiple teams, all-star, MVP, world champion, just another voice to talk to and, you know, lean on. And they probably have missed that on some level. And as far as not listening to the scouts, like, I mean, these are just things that can be said. I don't know if it's true. And it's not like Helsley's been a closer in this league for a long time. He throws 102 miles an hour. They took a flyer on Mullins. Mullins wasn't playing that well. Like, well, you know, they knew it wasn't. They were just hoping it could be a change of scenery type thing. And he's got some ability and he could be better than Tyrod Taylor. It's not like they traded for some stud center fielder that they were expecting big things from. They were just hoping he could help and click, and he hasn't. And Helsley's the real disaster of it all, and I don't know how you could think, you know, what scout wouldn't have told you Helsley's 102-mile-an-hour fastball doesn't play. Now, I know his numbers weren't as good as previous seasons, but, like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm believing that Stearns doesn't talk to the scouts. But there's definitely something. I mean, listen, whenever a team loses to this level and they're more talented than this, right, because we all believe them to be more talented than this, you could argue whether or not they're the best team in baseball, best team in the National League. They should have been this. They should have done that. They had a 5-game lead in the division. But I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think they should have been or how down you were at them even at the start of the year. I did not think they would be 4 games over 500. I did not think the best they could be was 86 wins. And I doubt they get to 86. You're looking at an 84, 85 win team, hopefully. I did not see that coming. I thought they would be better than that. I didn't necessarily think they'd be world beaters, because you never know, and I didn't love the starting rotation. But they've underachieved to a massive level. And whenever you do that, there's always something going on. It's not perfect in there, but it's been a lot more about the play on the field. It's been a lot more about the pitching staff, the bullpen, and the production of this offense when it matters most. And after like a 3 or 4 week stretch where they were really good, they've come back down to earth and they have not hit in the biggest moments. You know, they're a game up right now if Nimmo hits a fly ball. Paul in Buffalo, what's up, Paul?
Chris, I decided the Mets were missing the playoffs against the Nationals when they're in extra innings. Can't lay a bunt down in the 10th. So you go to the bottom of the 10th. Acuna can't lay a proper bunt down, but gets the first because there's no catcher interference. And then the catcher ground ball double play.
Yep.
And they can't get it done. And they're doing this in their home field where they were dominant.
Yeah, it was the best home field advantage in baseball for the first couple months.
Yeah. Yep. The Mets fan has come out, and these bums have slinked away in their home field. Now they're going to go on the road, and you know the Marlins are going to bury them. Now, Chris, I'll say this about the Mets offseason. You can't just replace Pete Alonso's 122 RBIs. He's the best hitter in the history of the franchise, and I know this. I know the owner loves him. I know the owner's a fan, and the owner has an unlimited budget. They'll pay Pete whatever it is, and he'll still have money. I know what Steve Cohen's going to do. He's going to look at the assemblage of talent that he has. And this is on the players. This is on the players 100%. When you make that much money, gentlemen, I don't care if there's a Puerto Rican Dominican thing. I don't care if it's about how much money Juan Soto makes. You all make money. You need to figure it out. This isn't on Mendy. I don't even think it's on Stearns. This is on the assemblage of talent that has let down the Mets fan who has showed up like no fan in baseball this year. I root for the Subway Series. I'm disgusted at the Mets, and I'm enjoying laughing at them.
Yeah, well, I mean, and it comes across, Paul. what I would say is, to your first point about Pete Alonso, it's not that they can't afford Pete. That's ridiculous. Of course he can afford Pete. If they lose, it's not just this season. Pete's been here a long time. Yeah, he's got a chance to be the best hitter in franchise history for a time before Juan Soto clearly demolishes all his numbers, you would think. Maybe not the home run numbers. Maybe the home runs go down as he gets older, but I'm sure it's going to be pretty damn close. He's going to play here for 12, 15 years. And he's a far better player than Pete. It's not they can't afford him. And it's not that that inhibits anything else they'd want to do. It's that the core of this team has now failed how many times? How many times? Last year was the one year that it went on this run. It became one of the best teams in baseball and then went into the postseason and proved it. 22, yes, they had a very good year under Buck. 101 wins, the whole bit. Didn't win the division. And lost in the playoffs in the wild card round. Before that, nothing. This core has failed over and over again. It's not about whether or not you can keep Pete. It's whether or not this team needs fundamental change at the core of it. And if you deem that it does, after this meltdown, how do you change it? How do you change it? The first and most easy way to change it is to allow Pete Alonso to walk. That changes who this Met team is. You can go spend money on other places. You can go get Kyle Tucker. You can go get the first baseman in Japan. You can go do different things. It opens it up to different possibilities to change the team, because it's hard not to feel like the core of the team needs a changing. You can trade Nimmo, see if anybody wants to take him. You could try and trade Jeff McNeil, see if anybody wants to take him. Can't move Lindor. Soto's obviously here and part of this core, the next core, and probably the third core after that. He's here for 15 years. The rotation's going to be different. Well, actually, no. It's going to look a lot like it does right now with these three young starters and probably Kodai Senga and Minaya. So it's going to, it should be better because you hope that these kids with a full year are going to be impactful. But, and they'll probably, you know, bring in more different, you know, Griffin Canning types who they'll try and fix with their lab. And the bullpen will look different and they'll invest a lot of money there and they'll make a different team. But if you think the core of this team is fundamentally flawed, how do you change it? Well, the easiest way is to not bring back one of the core fundamental pieces of the core, pardon the overuse of the word, Pete Alonso. I'm not saying you can't bring him back. I'm not saying you shouldn't bring him back. I'm just saying if you make a decision that the core of this team needs to change, the fastest and easiest way to do that is just simply not pay Pete. And we've seen what he's done down the second half of the season. Yeah, he just hit four games in a row with a homer, and he's going to have a great year. He hasn't been good, that good for the second half of the season. I think Stearns is going to think they got the best of him this year for $30 million, and they gave him the biggest contract, the biggest year ever for a first baseman, most money any first baseman's ever made in a year. You, thank you very much for that. Thank you for your positive season. Bye-bye. I think there is a better than 50-50 chance that Pete Alonso is not with the Mets next year. And if it's after this collapse and they don't make the playoffs, even the Met fans who scream for him, you have to be open to some kind of change, don't you? You have to be open to a new core of this team, don't you? I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Talking a little bit of baseball as we come down the stretch of the season, the final six games. And for the New York Mets, the final six games of their lives, three here against the, losing my mind, drawing a blank. They got the Marlins after this series. They got three here against the Chicago Cubs, who are coming off being swept by the Cincinnati Reds, who are the team ahead of them, six games to outplay the Reds. And I guess the question is, what do you have to do? The Reds are playing three against the Pirates, and then they're playing three against the Milwaukee Brewers, who knows what their motives will be. I doubt they'll see. I know they have a bye, so you might see at least one. You might see Peralta. I don't know. I don't know how they view it. They got a couple days off.
Probably see those guys, but only for a couple innings.
You probably see them, but only for a couple innings. You're right. They're not going to overly work those guys. They're just going to let them get in some work because they'll have the bye, obviously. So the Cubs aren't going to have to. The Reds aren't going to face those top pitchers for long. Who knows how the team takes it? Who knows who plays? Like, it's just up in the air. So what do you think, Mike? Just real quick, I'll ask you once. What do the Mets have to do here to secure a playoff spot? Is 4-2 good enough?
No.
They got to go 5-1.
Minimum, I think you're right. Maybe 6-0.
Yeah. 6-0 is tough.
Well, don't they blow, two games in the last weekend, five games in the last 2 weeks.
I'm with you. I'm
20
with
games
you.
This season, you're not in that position.
It's a fair point. They are 50-50 right now. It is amazing that the Reds are in the lead with a 43%. I know people get hung up on this. I do, too. I find it fascinating how they come up with these narratives and these numbers. But the Mets are at 50% to make the playoffs. The Reds are at 43%. 5-1. I'm still thinking 4-2 gives you a chance. But if you go 4-2, that's all the Reds have to do. Reds win two series. You win two series. You're out.
And that's not even counting the Diamondbacks.
That's fair. Not even counting the Diamondbacks. I haven't even thought of the Diamondbacks. They are a game back, a full game back. And They are playing the Dodgers, and then who are they playing? Let's check their schedule real quick.
I think the Padres.
They are playing the Dodgers, and the Padres both have clinched. I don't think the Padres are going to have anything to play for in those last three games. I would imagine the division will be over, but that's a tough schedule.
Well, if the Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers, then the Padres will have something to play
for.
That's
a good point. That's a good point. So that's one, like, yeah, so that is a good point. The Dodgers and Padres, it is tough goings there. I mean, they haven't clinched the division yet. They're going to still want to win some games. Now, the reason that they would win the tiebreaker over the Mets is because if they put themselves in a position to be tied with the Mets, that means they're beating their division and their divisional record would be better than the Mets.
And also, if they finish in a three-way tie, the Diamondbacks have it. The Mets have to clear both of these
teams. The Mets have to clear both of them, yes. If they all end up in a tie, it's the Diamondbacks over the Reds. So if all three tie, it's the Diamondbacks. The Mets have to go. I mean, the Mets have to go 5-1. That's great. The Mets, they can't lose, man. You've got to find a way. And then, oh my, can you imagine having the Marlins do it to you again? And as I said earlier, they're putting back Sandy Alcantara, who's been much better in the second half. Got off to a miserable start to the year. Was going to be the prize trade deadline acquisition of the offseason, of the trade deadline by anyone's estimations, but he was terrible for the entire first half. He's really turned it on in the second half, been better, and they're pushing him back to play against the Mets because that's what else do they have? This is the Marlins team right now that has won 9 of 10 and 6 in a row. They have been a pesky team all year. They swept the Yankees. They have been a much better team than expected, and they would love nothing more than to repeat history and send their division rival home. You have got to take all three from the Cubs. I mean, you got the Cubs, and you got a pesky Marlins team, and you got to go 5-1. I cannot believe the Mets have put themselves in this position. I can't believe it. Mike in Brooklyn. What's up, Mike?
Hey, bud. What's going on?
How's everything tonight? What's up, bud? Good. How are you?
Listen, just a couple points. I'm doing okay, but I said 86 wins before the beginning of the season, and when they were 21 games over 500.
Now you're hoping they get to 86 wins, right? Yeah, it's 80.
They're not getting 86 wins, dude. There's no way.
If you're right and they do 86, you'll see them in the playoffs.
Yeah, I was wrong because they're definitely not winning 86. Just a couple quick points because when I'm on the phone and you say stuff, like I take notes of that. So the whole, you know how you said they did gradually throughout from the beginning of the season fall apart, but they actually plummeted at the trade deadline, August 1st, the day after the trade deadline. They were half a game behind the Phillies.
Yeah.
Now they're 12 games. So they lost 11 and a half games in a month and a half.
Yeah. No, I get that. I hear what you're saying. But the Phillies did get hot, and they right now they have overtaken the Dodgers, second best team in the National League. But I hear what you're saying, yeah. Mm. They went from half a game down to 11 games back. They've lost a lot. Yeah. 12 games. They lost 11 and a half games.
What numbers are we looking at for the percentage to get into the playoffs? Yesterday 50. I was looking at 51. Okay, I was looking at 51-40 yesterday, and then this morning it came out 61 in favor of the Reds, 26 with the Mets, and the Reds are and the Reds have the like Mike was saying, the Reds also they have to lose. That's in their hands. You know what I mean?
It's in the Reds' hands. If the Reds go 6-0, they're going to the playoffs. Doesn't matter what the Mets do. It doesn't matter what the Arizona Diamondbacks do. If the Reds win 6 in a row, they're going to the playoffs. Now again. The playoff percentage on the ESPN app, which is the only one that I see, and thank you for the call, Mike, has the Mets, and this is hard to believe. I don't understand it, to be quite honest with you. The Reds have the tiebreaker, so the Mets have to be a game better. They're playing two teams, right now in the Pirates, who are awful, and the Padres, the Brewers, who won't have anything to play for. And the Mets are playing a Cubs team that, I guess has nothing to play for, but just got swept. How many games are they going to lose in a row do they want to lose heading into the playoffs? And they're a good team, a playoff team, as opposed to the Pirates, who are awful. And then they finish the season with a Marlins team that's won 10 in a row, or 9 out of 10, rather, and 6 in a row. And yet the Mets are 50.4% to make it, and the Reds are 43.2. And the Diamondbacks, they give a 6.3% chance. So, like, according to ESPN, the Mets are going to figure this thing out and get in. Not by a lot, but it's a coin flip. It's worse than that for the Reds, which doesn't make any sense. But, again, and then the American League, it is fascinating what's gone on in the American League. The Seattle Mariners have taken complete control of the West. They're going to win that division. They're going to get a bye. They're two games better than they're two in the loss column ahead of the Mariners, ahead of the Tigers, too. So, like, the Mariners are going to get a bye. That's going to help the MVP case. That's why I saw the odds are at even money now. So someone was tweeting, in New York, you can't bet on individual awards, but I saw someone put up a picture. Right now, it's minus 115 Cal Raleigh, minus 115 Aaron Judge to win the MVP. Because I think there is, if they get a bye and don't have to play in the wild card round, that's significant to me. It is. It's not necessarily something that would put him over the top on Aaron Judge, but it's an argument. Hey, he took his team to a division win, which is the goal. I don't care what the overall record is, because yes, the Yankees have a better record, but it's about winning a division. You win the division, you get a bye, and you don't have to play in the wild card round. I put an emphasis on that slightly, if things all being equal. But I'm tired of having that MVP discussion. We'll see what happens. Judge is the better player with the better overall numbers. Cal Raleigh's the better story. He's broken some history. He's the best. It's the best offensive season a catcher's ever had in the most demanding defensive position. Judge has missed a month of playing the outfield, and even now he really can't throw. He's DHing at least half the games. I just think I still vote Judge, but if he hits 60, he's got two more, and they get a bye, I could understand why he's the MVP, and I wouldn't cry. I'd be still more upset about 2017 Altuve getting it over him than Cal Raleigh getting it this year. But, I mean, the Tigers are in free fall. They've lost 6 in a row, 9 out of 10, and the Cleveland Guardians have won 9 out of 10, and this was a 12-game lead a month ago. In a month, they have lost 12 games, practically. It's one in the loss column, and I can tell you this, and I don't care how hot they are, and I think most Yankee fans agree, let's get the Cleveland Guardians to that second wild card spot. You want to welcome in Cleveland into the Bronx, or do you want to welcome in the Boston Red Sox or the Houston Astros? I think they would beat the Astros. And you know me, I think they'd beat the Red Sox. The Red Sox would scare me the most. Crochet is an excellent starting pitcher, and they've had trouble with Bello as well. So, like, and the Red Sox have played the Yankees very well. So while I still think they win that series, or at least have a very good chance to win that series, I don't think there's any doubt, if you're being honest with yourself, that's the toughest opponent. If the Cleveland Guardians, who are right now, I guess, with tiebreaker points over the Houston Astros, they're only one game back of Boston. And that's why I ask Yankee fans, who would you rather see win? Like, right now, the Yankees are, for all intents and purposes, back three games of the Toronto Blue Jays for the division lead. Three games. It's really two, but three because of the tiebreaker. If you told me Boston's going to sweep, then I suppose I'd sign for that. Because the Yankees got to sweep, too. They got to handle their business. But if it's just who's going to win the series, like whoever wins game one, I'll probably root for a sweep. If Boston wins game one, then I don't want them to split the next two. Same thing with, I want one of these teams to lose all three. I guess that's what I'm rooting for. I guess I'm rooting for a sweep. Because I'd love to see, even if they can't win the division, the Boston Red Sox be hurt and have and lose three in a row and have the Guardians overtake them and have the Guardians come into Yankee Stadium. I don't care how hot they are. I don't care. It's the Guardians. The Yankees have owned them recently. They're not overly a good team. They're just hot right now. And I know I'm the king of get in and get hot, and they are the hottest team in baseball. I don't care. I like the Yankees' chances just infinitely more if it's Cleveland as opposed to the Boston Red Sox. But do you still have faith you can win the division? And if they win the division, they're most likely going to be the one seed, and they're going to get a bye and home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So I guess we watch tonight, and I will be watching. We will watch tonight, and whoever wins my vote is to then root for a sweep in that direction. And I don't know what I want. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what I want. Because part of it is ultimately the Yankees winning a lot of games. Like, even if they sweep Toronto, the Yankees have to win games. They have to win all of these games to then catch the Blue Jays. If the Blue Jays sweep the Red Sox, the Yankees don't have to do that much to hold on to the one wild card. Like, the advantage of Cleveland over Boston is a lot easier looking at it through the Yankee lens. The Yankees, if Boston sweeps the Blue Jays, the Yankees got to sweep the Chicago White Sox, and then they probably have to go win two out of three or sweep Baltimore. And then you get the question of, do you throw Max Fried? And if you throw Max Fried to win the division and he loses and you don't get it, now you're short Max Fried for the wild card series. Like, there's a lot of stuff that still goes into winning that division that scares me. Because as much as, like, that's the other thing. Like, if you show up last game of the year or Saturday or something and Max Fried's available to pitch, say the last game of the year, Max Fried's available to pitch. I got to look at all the numbers, but, or Rodon's available to pitch. One of those two. And if you win, you're in. If you win, you win the division. You got to throw him, right? You got to start him and try and win that game. To win the division and get a bye and overcut and forget the wild card series, you have to. Now, for anything else, I wouldn't. To decide whether they're the top wild card or the second wild card, to decide whether they're the Red Sox are coming to the Yankee Stadium or going to Fenway. Like, I can't throw one of those two starting pitchers. I need him for that postseason series. I would not do that. But if it, and they were talking about this on the broadcast the other night, but if it's to win the division, then maybe you throw him. But what if you throw him and you lose the game and then you don't have him for the wild card series? I don't know. It's dicey. It's dicey. Even the Red Sox sweeping the Blue Jays and giving the Yankees a good chance of winning the division, it's dicey because the Yankees are going to have to win all of their games to still overcome it. The advantage I'm looking for the other way is to have Cleveland take over the Red Sox. That's easier. Toronto sweeps the Red Sox. There's a good chance we're playing Cleveland, and the Yankees don't have to win that many games. They're four games up in the loss column over Cleveland. The Yankees can go 3-3 and still hold on to the top wild card spot. So I don't know, man. I don't know. If you told me the Yankees were going to win all six, then yeah, give me the Red Sox beating Toronto. But it's still dicey. There could be a situation where it ends up screwing them. They end up in the wild card anyway, and they don't have one of their two best starting pitchers because they threw him in a game to go win the division and they lost. Dicey. I love this stuff. I could, this is what I do. I'm yelling about Jackson Dart. I could talk wild card standings for four straight hours. I love this stuff. I love pennant race baseball. I love the last couple days of the season. I can't wait for Tuesday, whether it's at Yankee Stadium, whether it's on the road, whether they're waiting to see who they'll take on in the Bronx and the ALDS, whatever the case may be. We got games tonight. We get to watch a game the Mets are playing for their lives. This is fantastic. Tonight is going to be great. The next 6 days are going to be great. 888-808-1019. And hopefully for Met fans, it's a lot of winning. Hopefully for both of us, it's a lot of winning.